Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very special guest on our show today. It is Dr. Landers, and she is an amazing woman who has an interest in helping mothers and women around the world balance their life and not have to suffer burnout. Because, as you know, women wear a lot of hats in this world, and sometimes we have trouble balancing all the things that we do in life, and burnout could lead to a lot of bad things. So we want to keep ourselves balanced, healthy, and happy. And Dr. Landers is here today to show us how. So, Dr. Landers, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. I'm so excited to have you here. It's an honor. Tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Oh, thank you, Stacy. I appreciate that. I am a retired physician. I practiced neonatology for 34 years. That's the intensive care of sick newborns and premature babies. And I loved that field. It was, busy, sometimes stressful, but very fulfilling. I got to know parents because my little patients would stay in the hospital for 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 months or more. And I got to be part of the family in a way that was so truly rewarding. What I learned in that experience was a lot about myself because I was talking to moms whose babies were sick, and I was a mom at the same time raising my children. I would often hear from moms, well, how do you manage so and so? Or what do you think about so and so? Because you're a pediatrician, you're supposed to know this stuff. And I would say, oh, my kid has that problem, or she developed this and it threw us for a loop. And they would always go, oh my God, that's so reassuring to hear that you've experienced the same thing. It's not just me. And so I noticed really in the middle of my career as a neonatologist that mothers in general love to feel supported and validated. We share so many universal feelings. We love our children. If we work, we hopefully love our jobs. We love our spouse or partners. We want to have a life that's joyful, but we all fall into traps with overwork, lack of self-care, mom guilt, not asking our partner for help. I mean, there's so many different little traps, excuse me, that we fall into along the way. So after I retired, Stacy, I didn't have much to do. And so when you're an ICU doc and then you stop practicing, it's kind of boring. So I started writing about the experiences of my patients, my favorite moms, those who were inspirational, those who challenged me, the toughest cases, mostly good ones. There are a few that had bad outcomes. And I wrote a memoir that included all of those inspirational stories of courageous parents in the NICU. And once the draft was going around, my friends, they said, well, this is not enough. You need to put in your own stuff, your own motherhood stuff. And I went, nobody wants to hear that. And they said, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And so I went back and I added my own mom stories again, always demonstrating the challenges that working moms meet. They're almost universal. Who takes care of the baby? What do you do when he's sick at school and you have to leave work? What about when your kid needs to see a therapist? What if your adolescent develops an eating disorder? What if your young child develops ADHD? What do you do about that? What if your husband's not helping? What do you do about that? My husband was also a physician, and he didn't help very much in the beginning. So I put in all those stories. I put in all my personal stories, how I was confronted with normal childhood challenges and normal working mom challenges. And I ended up with a book, a memoir that's called So Many Babies. And I have been told by lots of women that my book is reassuring to working mothers. It's not meant to be comforting for new parents because I talk about NICU babies.
Right.
But who in general are sick, they're in the hospital. But it is reassuring and comforting to women who are trying to balance work and raising kids and being married or being a single mother. I tried to write it in a way that would give women some power over their situation by telling them that their struggles are very typical, that we share those struggles, how I got support from my colleagues, my friends, whether it was a work friend, another pediatrician, whether it was a neighborhood friend who was nothing like me, maybe she was a stay-at-home mom, or whether it was a friend who had, we had children in the same school. And so I talk about all those different ways to find support. And in my memoir, I talk about all the different ways I learned to care for myself. Mm-hmm. Now, every working mother knows, and you know this too, that we go through different phases in our lives where sometimes we take better care of ourselves, sometimes we don't. If our kid's in trouble, if our kid is sick, if our marriage is in trouble, we're not going to put the same effort into taking care of ourselves that we do when things are on balance. So I wanted my story, my memoir, to tell an accurate story of a regular old working mom, even though I'm a physician, who really tried to do everything and succeeded in being not a perfect mother, repeat, right, not a perfect mother, but a good enough mother. Right. And it took me a while to be able to say that, mm-hmm, that I ended up being a good enough mother.
Right. I think, like earlier, we are talking about, you know, a lot of moms feel guilty. They always feel they could either do better, or they, you know, they get burnt out, or they're starting to feel burnt out, because sometimes you don't even feel, mm-hmm, until it gets really bad. And, you know, moms feel guilty, or they feel shameful to take some time out for themselves. That's, you know, everybody needs a little self-love. And I think a lot of moms from what, who I've talked into, you know, say, well, I feel guilty, or I feel kind of shameful. You know, if I put myself, you know, before my family, before my kids, before my husband, they have this mentality that they think, you know, everybody has to come first. That's the job of a mom. That's the job of a wife. But it really, it should be the opposite, don't you think?
Right, right. Our culture has somehow taught us that we handle everything and we put everybody else ahead of ourselves. And I think what we're slowly learning is that that's a real trap, that saying that we have to put everybody on our list and we're at the very bottom, if we ever make it to the bottom of our list, harms us. I talk to women who try to do everything. And instead of using methods to deal with stress in their lives, whether it's stress from being a mom, stress from working, they haven't instituted methods to cope with the stress. Sometimes that's just talking to a friend. Other times it's exercising, going out for a walk, getting outside in nature. Sometimes it's actually talking to a therapist or a coach or counselor. But women who tend to have better balance in their lives, I think, learn that taking care of themselves is not selfish. It's right, really quite necessary. If you're not controlled, if you're not calm, if you're not okay with the fact that your kid has 103 fever and you've given the Tylenol and you're leaving for work and the babysitter's going to call you and you're going on and doing your job, if you're not okay with that, you're going to be a maniac at work.
Yes.
And we all have to face those kind of situations. Women tend to carry issues about their family in the back of their brain. I mm-hmm. did that too. I would be in the middle of the ICU taking care of a sick patient, and I would be worried about whether or not my daughter had gotten that project finished that she wanted to turn in for AP English. And we all do that. Whether my other daughter actually made it to the varsity volleyball team, because she was just devastated when she heard that she didn't, and she had been on the JV team. So we take all the concerns and the problems of our children with us in the back of our minds to work, which makes us even more stressed.
Right.
And then we go home to take care of our family, and we're still stressed. We haven't recognized that there has to be some outlet for that stress. There has to be some physical and emotional way for us to calm, to de-stress, to get control of our emotions, because it's really hard to be a working mom. You're tired.
Yes.
You're pushed to the limit sometimes. It's really difficult. And I want working moms listening to tell themselves, what I'm doing is really difficult. This is not an easy thing to do. When you work full time and you raise a family and you're married or not, and we all have extended families, that is a lot of life. That is a lot of living and a lot of life. And I have to take care of myself because I can't handle that all, that lovely, wonderful bundle, unless I take care of myself.
What are some suggestions that you have for working moms that have carried so much on their shoulders and they're having a hard time? Some people use, you know, food for comfort. Some people, they have to get on the edge where they can easily blow up and get angry for no apparent reason because they have so much repressed emotion going on because they're handling so much that a human being is not meant to carry that much a weight in one shot. You know, what are your suggestions for someone who is going through that?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing, the most important thing, is self-awareness. For working mothers who are tired all the time, who wake up exhausted, who aren't getting enough sleep, who feel inadequate being a mother, who are triggered by a difficult child, or triggered by work, a manager they don't like, or a supervisor who's a jerk. Mm-hmm. For mothers who feel like they're not doing a good job and they're exhausted physically and emotionally, knowing that, sometimes it's burnout, sometimes it's not quite there, but knowing that you're there is very important, because you can't heal unless you figure out the triggers.
Yes.
If it's that difficult child, do you have someone to take care of him or her so you can have some respite time away from him or her? Do you have a caregiver helper? Do you have an advocate at school, who a special teacher who helps you with a special needs kid? Mm-hmm. Do you have a colleague at work who you can talk to about the jerk supervisor who doesn't help anybody and y'all can't stand him? So the self-awareness is first. Talking to someone and getting help from someone is second.
Yes.
And then making some time to take care of yourself. That sounds so difficult, but here is the thing, Stacy, and you know this. If you just walk around the block in your neighborhood, if there's some trees and bushes or a park, if you get out in nature, in green spaces, you will feel better.
Yes.
If you exercise outside, you will feel better. If you exercise anywhere, you will feel better. I discovered that early in my career, that whether it was walking, whether it was running, whether it was going to the gym, my mood lifted when I exercised at least 3 days a week. And I'm talking like 30 minutes, 3 days a week. If you call a friend, not text, not Facebook, but call, pick up the phone and call, or better yet, have coffee during the day or meet for lunch, talk to your friend, talk to someone who you love and they love you, and sort through your issues. Connection and social support are crucial for moms who are overdone. Absolutely crucial. They're just as important as self-awareness. And they're probably as important as exercise and sleep. And I'll tell you a secret. When I was stressed out, I guess this was later, maybe in my 40s, I would come home and drink a glass of wine. And then I would drink another glass of wine. And I thought that was a good way to control my stress. I had a job where I was working way too many hours, and it felt like it decompressed me. But over time, it made my sleep worse. It made my mood bad. It made my stress actually increase. And I figured out that not drinking alcohol made me feel better. Yes. I had a conversation with my husband, or we went out on a date. So again, you have to examine the things that you're doing to cope.
Yes.
Are you drinking too much? Are you eating too much? What's the trigger and what are you using to cope? Because burnout won't go away if you just wish it to go away. Something has to change if you're burned out.
Yes.
Whether it's extra care, whether it's time away, whether it's exercise with a friend, a yoga class, whether it's taking up journaling and writing gratitudes, or lots and lots of different ways. I wrote a book, Stacy. It's an ebook called Defeating Burnout, A Guide for Working Mothers. I feel so strongly about this that I wanted to write down all the things that I had used when I was burned out for other women to be able to use if they think they're burned out. And it has checklists for self-assessment, and it has inventories for your personal and your professional life. And then, of course, it talks about methods to relieve stress and take care of yourself. So I've got that book for moms. And because I think we're not born knowing how to handle burnout, we're not born knowing how to handle everything in our lives. Right. Our culture tells us we're supposed to know. I saw my mother never sit still. You probably did the same thing. Right. She was a school teacher, a librarian, and she got home late and cooked supper and fussed and was short. And on the weekends, she ran around doing errands or sewing or something like that. I never saw my mother sit still. And so I grew up with this notion of doing something. And I'm guilty. ICU doctors really like to do something, do things. I had to teach myself that sitting still and being something was as important as doing something.
Yes. I like that. I like that a lot. I've known so many people in my life that always felt like they have to be doing something because their mentality was like, I have to care. I have to do this. I have to. And they never sat down. They never relaxed. And I feel like it caught up with them as they got older. You could see it aging on their face. You could see their mentality start to even decline, you know, faster than others. And I think a lot had to do with not being able to relax, give yourself quiet time. Because I feel like your brain needs to relax and renew itself, because it's just like any other organ. If you overwork it, it's going to have problems, you know, because human. And, you know, I think, you know, like you said, learning how to relax is just as important as doing. And I think people don't realize that. I think that's a factor that people don't realize, that relaxing is just as important as doing when it comes to being a mom and a working mother.
Right. I discovered that I liked to play when my kids were little. My husband's not very athletic. And so we would all go out in the backyard, or we would go up in the cul-de-sac and ride bikes. Yeah. I taught my children how to pitch and catch, and I enrolled them in t-ball because I loved doing that stuff. And I loved taking hikes through the neighborhood with the kids. And I had a neighborhood friend who said, "Why are you always out here with the children?" I said, first of all, I'm not off very much. I only had like one day off every 12 at this particular job. And I said, I really want to play and relax and have fun on my day off. I did not want to run errands. And I learned really early that playing, especially being outside, being in green spaces, was very uplifting.
Yes. I like that. I like that a lot. And I feel that, you know, a lot of people, they have to really learn that, you know, not to compare themselves to other individuals. I feel a lot of times I see moms compare themselves to other moms and then feel that doing enough. And, you know, I think the worst thing that we can do is compare our lives, ourselves to others, because you don't really know what goes on in that person's life, you know, and some people may have more time to do other things. And some people, you know, may be on the go consistently, and they might not be able to have that free time. Or another person might have obstacles with their child that they're dealing with, you know, their child might have a or a disorder and they're dealing with that. So everybody's going to be on their own different level. And even what's going on with that person, you know, is that person in perfect health? Is that person struggling with things along with being a mom and a working mom? There's so many factors that have taken place. I think one of the worst things people could do is to compare themselves to other individuals, and to just try to be their best selves and know when to stop, you know. And I think that's key also, is some people just don't know when to stop, you know. And you know, we talked about symptoms when it comes to, you know, sometimes in the beginning, a lot of people don't see the burnout symptoms. And when they finally realize it, are there things that moms could look for so they don't get to that point where they're in the process of burning out?
Yeah, I think there are some things, and that's why I developed the checklist. It's on my website, free, SusanLandersMD.com. It's also in the book that I mentioned, Defeating Burnout. There, you can assess your sleep. You can assess your feelings about exercise. You can assess your feelings about your boss. You can recognize that you're not sleeping adequately, that you never exercise, that you're eating too much, that you're gaining weight. You can recognize that you and your husband have a strained relationship. So I think checklists help women in that self-awareness process to sort of go through the list of all the factors that influence us. And it helped me a lot. I was 41 years old. My third child was a year. I had kids 7, 4, and a year. And we moved to a new city. My husband got a great new job, and my job was awful. And my manager, my director, was awful. And we worked 12 days in a row to have one day off. And on some of the rotations, I had to go into the hospital and make rounds 30 days in a row. So very old fashioned, and I said to him, you know, I've got three little kids. My nanny can't work more than 50 hours a week. And I was probably working 60 or 70. And my husband was filling in the gaps. And he looked at me and he said, why don't you get a weekend nanny? And I went, you really don't get this, do you? So I struggled with that schedule. And I struggled with that boss that was bad for me. And I was stressed. And I tried to keep up with my kids. And I noticed that I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't eating. I was short with my children. I would have temper outbursts. I would yell more often. Those are huge red flags for burnout. And I visited with a friend at work and I told her how I was feeling. She said, before we knew what burnout was from working mom, she said, are you depressed? Maybe you need to see a therapist. So I went to see a friend of hers, a psychiatrist. And he said, tell me about your life. And I told him about my life. And I described being the person on the stage spinning sticks with plates on top of the sticks, and the plates were spinning, and that I had all of these plates going and running from stick to stick so that I could rotate the stick and keep all the plates going because I didn't want any plate to fall. Right. And if a plate was wobbling, I would run over and spin the stick and get it to work. And he laughed. He laughed at me. And I said, what is so funny? He said, if that's your life, why don't you just take down some of the plates?
Yeah.
And that experience, that epiphany allowed me, with his help, to look at all the aspects of my life, what I was doing professionally, what I was doing as a spouse, my husband's job, my children, what their challenges were, what I wanted to do as a mom. Yeah. And I rearranged my work life. I changed my job. I did something way less stressful. I became a better mother. I added exercise. I had already done some playing. I added other ways to cope with stress to my life.
Yeah.
And I took down 4 or 5 plates, and it made a huge difference. And so I like to use that analogy because I think all working moms have all those plates spinning.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to sit down and look at the plates and say, okay, what is most important to me?
Right.
What can I change? What can I control? And what's outside my control? For
right.
example, my bad manager was outside my control, but I changed my job.
Yes.
And that was within my control. And my 3 kids all kind of rocked along the same. And my husband and I worked on our marriage. And so I got better. And that experience taught me so much about what working mothers go through. I mean, I was a working mother, 3 kids, married, 2 professions. And I learned nobody's going to take care of this but me.
Right.
Nobody's going to put those plates up and down and make decisions about which plates I spin but me.
Right.
I'm the one who decides.
Mm-hmm.
And I think women today can give themselves that skill.
Yes, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Now, did you ever feel that you failed in any way when you started taking down those plates?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I was in academic medicine. I was working for a medical school. I had worked for a medical school in Houston for 8 years and then in this other city for 6. And I felt like a big fat failure because I hadn't done enough research projects. I hadn't written enough papers. I hadn't presented enough. I had done some, but not a lot because I had 3 kids. And when I was off, I was with them, not in the office working.
Right.
And so I felt it took me a while to get over, you're not a failure. You're still a physician. You're still doing a good job. And when we moved to yet another city, we moved to Austin, Texas, I found a wonderful job where I did lots of great things. I was the medical director of a mother's milk bank. I got special expertise in breastfeeding medicine. I taught and trained neonatal nurse practitioners. I worked with residents. I did everything but research. And I was really happy. And my kids were happy and they thrived and they did well. And I had enough time to be a mother. And I think that's the whole point of this. You do have to make some concessions. You can't always be the ultimate professional 80 hours a week if you want to raise 3 kids. Maybe, I mean, I couldn't do that. Maybe some people can, but you do have to make choices.
Yeah.
And I learned in my midlife that when I make choices, I'm the most happy.
Yes. I agree with you. And many moms that were very successful working mothers had to sacrifice certain things in their life if they wanted to do their career. And if they wanted to spend more time with their children, then, like you said, they needed to take the plates down. So I think it's a choice, you know, what's you know, is having, you know, going on more trips or having more income or being able to do this more important, or is staying home and being able to spend more time with your children and maybe do more things with your children more important, and find that happy balance where you're going to be happy on both sides of the park. And
you
I
know,
think
the other thing about that balance, Stacy, that I found was that it really teeter-totters. Sometimes I did more medicine and less kids. And sometimes I did more kids and less medicine. And it really is our choice. It really is the way we, the only control we have over our lives, not how healthy our children are, not how healthy our marriage is. Well, we have some control over that. Not how great our manager or boss is, but what we choose to do, where we choose to put our effort. That is so important. And it will vary. It will vary through the different phases of women's lives. It has for you. It has for me. We all have different transitions we go through. That period when I was so burnt out in my 40s taught me so much about my own capability. And again, I had to shake that image of my mother doing something constantly. But it was a real growth process. And I have always believed as a physician, as a mom, as a friend, that the things that are the most difficult in your life will help you grow the most. They will be the most beneficial.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you really wanted to emphasize on some important factors, what are some things you really like to get across to working moms so they don't have to experience burnout?
You can make an assessment of your life and your choices, and that's a healthy thing to do. You can compare notes with a trusted friend. And that's a healthy thing to do. You can share with your spouse or partner if you're connected, and they will learn something about you that they didn't know. And you can make changes if you're willing to learn to take care of yourself. Burnout is preventable, but it's only preventable if we learn to value ourselves and have some self-compassion and some kindness and say, well, you know, working 50 hours a week really stinks and I've got to get a better job. And having a friend say, you're right, that is pretty bad. You're right. You should get a different job. Or the friend saying, well, it's just that boss and it's, you know, keep on keeping on. So bouncing ideas off of other women who are going through the same thing is so golden. It is human connection at its best. It is the support system that women value the most. Our friends, our colleagues, our social circles. And I'm not talking Instagram and I'm not talking text messages. It is people we are with personally, sitting down, having lunch, having coffee, sharing our ideas. Those things are so important in the process of figuring out what you want and what you can control.
I think that's great advice. And another pointer, I just want to point out that you had mentioned earlier, it's good to have either a therapist or a coach, or even, you know, we had mentioned earlier, we were talking about how psychotherapy can really help individuals. And I like psychotherapy because, like, when you speak to someone like a therapist or you speak to someone like a coach, you're using your frontal cortex of your brain, and you know, you're getting in and out, you're getting contact of what emotions that you're prevalent that you're feeling. But psychotherapy really goes into the back of the brain, and it really contacts those emotions, and it's a process with the psychotherapist showing you and guiding you how to let go of those emotions, because unless we learn how to let go those feelings, those emotions, doesn't matter how many times we talk about it, we have to let it go. And if you're feeling burnt out, or if you're feeling shameful, or if you're feeling like you're a failure because you're not able to hold all those dishes on the stick, you know, it's good to be able to get, I think, grasp those emotions and then deal with them and then let them go and just be able to move forward. So when you had talked about psychotherapy and how you thought it was beneficial, I agree totally. I think that's, it's psychotherapy is not something that's really talked about a lot, but it's such a great therapy for individuals. And I would highly recommend it to even working moms to look into if they're feeling overwhelmed and they really need to talk to somebody and they want to let go a lot of those emotions from burnout.
I have a friend who's a social worker and a counselor, and she is semi-retired, and she works for employee assistance programs and does 12 visits, which employers pay for. And she has talked to lots of women and men who think they're burned out. So I implore your listeners, check with your HR department. Do you have employee assistance programs? Does your employer give you 12 visits with a therapist or a counselor? Can you just focus on you and sort through the issues in those first 12 visits? My friend says sometimes people just kind of get clear within 4 or 5 visits, and then they sort of work on polishing the plan. And she has been so surprised at how much people enjoy being able to share what they're going through with a professional. Yeah. I agree with you, Stacy. Psychotherapy is nothing to be ashamed of. It is helpful. It is counseling at its finest. It is necessary if you have some deep-rooted childhood issues. I had a very harsh authoritarian father, and I'm sure that's why I turned into a perfectionist, because that was the way I got a good attention, making A's and becoming a doctor. But so I had a lot of issues to deal with about those feelings that are deep seated from childhood. And so therapy helped me a whole lot. And I know that it helps other people, because I've talked to lots of working moms who actually, make the break and go get some therapy or work with a coach. Some coaches are really good at counseling. Check with your employee assistance plan. Start there. See if you can do something that's free.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Now, do you offer any types of services, or you have your book, so what are the different things that you offer to individuals?
People can contact me personally on my website, and I get back in touch with them and chat by email and over the phone, but I don't do counseling. I do have a new newsletter on Substack called Moms Matter. And I love writing that newsletter because it's just stuff I'm interested in and stuff younger women are interested in. And so I think that is my offering for support for working moms right now. I mentioned the book, Defeating Burnout. I mentioned my memoir, So Many Babies. And I have lots of free resources on my website. So if your listeners want to go to my website, SusanLandersMD.com, they'll find checklists, guidelines, journaling books, wellness books, not books, wellness journals to plot out your week. I'm sure, Stacy, you have things like that to offer too. But I also have some resources for parents about childhood issues in general. Mm-hmm. Premature babies, cerebral palsy. I don't have anything about epilepsy. I need to add that. Milestone trackers from the CDC and other organizations. Because I like for parents to get good information, not to get ask Dr. Google. I think asking Dr. Google is kind of fraught with problems. If you're going to ask Dr. Google, get Dr. Google to take you to a medical school site, a physician, or a children's hospital.
Yes. And I say that all the time. When people try to Google an issue, a medical issue, I say, where did you get that information? I say, did you get it from a medical site? Did you find it in a medical journal? Did a doctor write it? Was it checked by, a clinician? Because there's so many things out there. People try to diagnose themselves, and not all the information out there is a lot of the information is not accurate. And also,
right.
you know, a symptom could lead to, it could be many things, not just, you know, one thing. If you have a headache and, you know, it could be a thousand and one things, you know, so you really have
right.
to get valuable information. And it's always good if something in your life is continuing and it's not getting better, if, and you're experiencing it, to get medical help. And I always highly
Right.
suggest that. It's very important. And I think it's great that you provide that. Now, if people want to get your books, can they find them on Amazon? Where can they find them?
Yes. My book, So Many Babies, is on Amazon and on my website. My ebook, Defeating Burnout, is only available on my website, and I just put it on sale so your listeners can go there and get it. And I'm going to develop more resources as moms tell me what they're interested in. But my newsletter is where I'm putting most of my attention, a weekly newsletter. And again, I'm talking about things that mothers are interested in, and the comments are great. And it's been really fun to, I never had a newsletter before. So it's, I've been doing it about a year. It's been great. It's called Moms Matter.
I love it. I love it. And I think it's so important, because I always used to say, you know, you read the book, you know, the 12 months of expectancy, you know, and you, it goes, it takes you through the 12 months of when you're pregnant, but no one gives you a handbook after you're pregnant. You know, you just, you're clueless. This baby is given to you. You have a life in your hands, and that's it. You know, you're
right.
learning from experience, you're learning from the people around you. And it's sometimes, you know, like things don't go, you know, things never go perfectly, and
No.
you have obstacles, things happen, and it's like, what do I do? So especially
Right.
when you're a new mother or a new father, you know, you know, certain things could happen and you just don't know what to do. You don't know where the right answer is or the best options. And so it's great to have somebody like you who could actually steer people in the right direction and maybe give them the right resources to look into so they could actually get adequate help and have somebody there, or an organization or a doctor's, that could actually give them the information they need and gear them on the right pathway. So I think that's wonderful. I really do.
Thank
I love
you. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks.
Now, before we go, is there anything else that you'd like to mention that we haven't covered during our conversation?
I want to reiterate to working parents, not just working moms, that what you do is so important. And being in two places at once is impossible. None of us can do that. And so that juggling act, that imbalance of your family life and your work life, is really an important thing to do and an important thing to feel really good about. Some of us want to be all jobs and some of us want to be all parents, and that's fine. But for the majority of us that are doing both, please take the time to figure out what makes you happy, what controls your stress, what methods you use to feel better, to be able to get some joy out of your life. Because we have kids because they give us so much joy.
Yes.
Presumably, not just headaches, but lots and lots of joy. So
I love it. Oh, Dr. Landers, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Thank you for all your information and your knowledge, and for you know, taking the time to share it with us. I really appreciate you and everything that you do. And thank you once again for being on our show.
Thank you, Stacy.
All right, you have a wonderful day.
You too.